It's time to buckle up your chin straps because you are on the mic with Jay Bird and Size. I'm here with my good friend, my fellow Gamecock, finally getting to sit beside you again this week, Jay Bird. It's good to finally have us back together.
Yes, sir. 2 weeks on the road. Me first, gone for a week. You first. Now we're back. I'm feeling right again. All right.
I'm telling you, it's been a rough week.
It's been a rough week. I'm not feeling 100%.
I understand.
I'm still a little down, but.
But we're together, and we do have some things to talk about today, so that's what we're going to do. We're gonna stop the clock so we can talk about the
Gamecocks.
Talk about the Gamecocks. There's a lot to talk about. A lot of different things going on. A lot of upset people. But a lot of positives as well. Just give me some of your overall thoughts about the A&M game. Better than you expected? Worse than you expected? About the same?
Well, obviously, A&M plays us. They've really just beat us every year, obviously. So, I picked us to get beat by 14. Obviously, we were in this ball game.
Oh, yeah.
Up until the fourth quarter. So, I was really thrilled with how we played. I thought the defense played great.
Great.
So
absolutely great.
You know, I was really not impressed, but if you ask me overall, I think we played better than I expected. We hung in there better than I thought we would.
Well, we close out and we're midway through the third quarter, we're up 17-7. We close out the third quarter up 17-10 at a place like that. You're talking almost 97,000 people at that game.
Yeah.
I'll take those odds every time. Didn't work out in our favor. Went scoreless through the first quarter. Then we give up a touchdown there early in the second quarter, but we respond well. Bentley again on a beautiful scramble play. Hits freshman Shy Smith for 45 yards, and it's a tied-up game. Parker Watt, after missing one earlier, comes through and hits a 29-yard field goal. And so we go into halftime, pretty pleased there. You know, you're up 10-7 at halftime. Hard to be disappointed. And then we come out and we look great at the start of the third quarter. We go on a six-play, 80-yard drive. And it's capped off with Ortre Smith finding the end zone yet again. The young fella's been in the end zone three times this year, 13 yards out from Jake Bentley. But from there, something just happened. And, man, it's heartbreaking. We give up a 46-yard field goal to end the third quarter almost, and then we give up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, causing the final score to be 24-17. Heartbreaking. Really is heartbreaking.
Yeah, real tough. I actually, Sunday, recorded the game
right,
just so I could go back and rewatch the fourth quarter again so that I'd have a little bit more to talk about. I was really stunned, you know, at how poorly we played in the fourth quarter. So, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll get into that. But, man, our yardage in the second half, especially after those sacks, was pitiful. We ended with either four or five consecutive three and outs. You're not going to win a lot of ball games in the SEC doing that. You're just not.
No, and you can't lose the time of possession like we did, keep putting the defense back out on the field, especially at that time of place and in that kind of atmosphere when they're running the spread like that. The defense just isn't going to keep up. Time of possession, 34 minutes for A&M, almost 26 for us. So,
so to end the game, these are our final drives. We go three plays. This is all right. So we're up 17. We're up 17-7, and we get a three and out. Momentum is on. All we got to do is extend a drive there. We go three plays for 4 yards. They go down and score. Three plays for 0 yards. Then they go down and score a touchdown. Then we come out and go three plays for 5 yards. Then we come back and get the ball again. We go three plays for 21 yards and had a penalty there. And then late there in the game, six plays. So until that final drive where we were trying to put something together, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing in the second half. Really the second half of the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And they were really starting to bring the pressure and blitz. We just couldn't handle it. Jake was getting sacked.
Seven sacks on this game.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It is.
And this is a team that only had like six going into the game, A&M. So it's not like they were lighting it up. We let them double. I mean, I think we jumped them 60-something spots. I mean, they went from like, average in the nation to everybody was like, man, they're in the top 30. You know, of course they are. You get seven sacks in one game. But really tough, really tough. Before we get into some of the details, though, there were some bright spots. So give me Jay Bird's player of the game.
Well, player of the game, I'm going to go with Shy Smith.
Okay. Young guy,
true freshman. Three catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown.
First touchdown of his early career.
Yeah, absolutely. He's great. No, on you know, not that he's my player of the game, but just a positive to talk about. Another true freshman, or Trey Smith.
Yep,
and he love those two together. Well,
those two together, and they're kind of a little bit two different receivers. I mean, two different body styles, but Ortre knows how to find the end zone. That's his third game.
Yeah.
That's his third game in a row. Well, I don't want to say, third game in a row that he's found the end zone. Had the one coming across the field against Kentucky. Had the one where he boloed two guys there against La Tech, and then has his 13-yard touchdown there. So both Smith boys doing good. I'm jumping on the other side of the ball.
All right.
And this kid, he stood out to me way more than his stat line, but his stat line's phenomenal. 10 total tackles, 9 solo tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, and a QB hurry. That's Jamias Williams, young 21 out there. Now, Jamias, one of the things I loved about him this week that I saw that doesn't show up on the stat line is on those screens that have been eating us up for years. He's attacking that blocker. He's up there blowing that guy up. Got called holding penalty. Got called on him one time because of how aggressive he was being. So just a lot of overall positive things flying around to the ball. Never giving up on plays. He was the one that got called. The targeting was called. The guy hit him, and because he's chasing after that play, never giving up. And that's the kind of energy. Now, he's still going to make mistakes. He's a freshman. But that's a pretty good game.
That's an excellent game. Another true freshman we're talking about.
Another true freshman, folks. Another true freshman. So, all right. So, as much as there's good to talk about, now, we had some not-so-good things. I'm going to lead us off with our get-it-together man.
Okay. Let's hear who you got.
Now, I know everybody's down on our running game, and I'll admit it's not great. Now, Tyshawn still averaged about 5 yards a carry or so, but as overall, it's pretty pitiful. But running backs, will you please block somebody? I mean, get it together. Look, if there's two guys coming, hit one of them.
Do something.
If you got one to pick from, hey, if there's one guy coming, that's who you're blocking. If there's two, pick the one closest to Jake and hit him as hard as you can. But we whiffed there in that fourth quarter on some big missed blocks. And everybody's beating our offensive lineup, and they're beat up enough missing three starters. And they had a pitiful game at times. One guy in particular, I'm not going to call a big fella out. But our running backs, get it together. You got to block somebody.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
So I don't know where you're headed. We hadn't had a whole lot of time to discuss this before we sat down, but the fans want to hear Jay Bird's get it together.
Well, everybody's been talking about it.
Yep.
It's been the highlight of the conversation on social medias, and I'm going to go with it. Kurt Roper, you're killing me.
Now, I want to remind you before you go any further.
I know it.
Two weeks ago, you called him an offensive genius on this show.
I know. We interviewed Holden, and I hope Holden listens. I really do. We interviewed Holden, and Holden always sends us some good questions, and we had him as a call-in, and me and him just rant and raved on how good he was doing. Boy, it's Jekyll and Hyde now. He has just turned the page. Fourth quarter, the play calling was absolutely awful. The much as they were blitzing, I'm not even a big-time football guru guy, but I know to throw a screen every now and then.
Yeah, as much as you hate the screen, it was the time to see something.
I mean, last year he bubble-screened us to death, and we couldn't get one out of him in the fourth quarter. Not a draw, nothing to slow it down. It was just bad. And we do have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
But, we talked about how towards the end of the year how we were not pleased with his play calling. Right. We watched the bowl game. It was a totally different person.
Totally different, yeah.
And we praised him the first two games on how well he called the NC State game. When we played Missouri, how much he stuck with the run against that spread offense, even when it wasn't working.
Right.
We were able to chew up the clock, get the defense rest. We praised him on how much it was, and we did. We did talk about how well he has basically turned the page as a caller. And it was just totally opposite the fourth quarter. You read the how many three outs we had.
Right.
People say, well, the one wasn't working. Well, maybe it wasn't. We had getting 5.2 yards a carry out of Tyson Williams.
Yep.
And maybe it wasn't working. But you know what? We needed to chew a little clock and clip on the ball and do something, and it just wasn't there. It just
it's frustrating. I know a lot of fans are frustrated. My point of frustration came when we're up 17-7 and they go three and out. We come out and go run and play, loss of two, run and play, loss of two, pass, incomplete, punt. That was our chance to take advantage of the opportunity. I mean, you get points there, and you just about seal the game.
We got a lot of momentum on our side.
Oh, we had a ton of momentum on our side. And then we really never got in sync after that. And I'm not going to repeat, you know, a whole lot of stuff there. But I did get to spend some time on the HMAC show, the HMAC show episode that aired today. I was got to go on the show with Holden. Fans, you can go on there and hear our conversation on that. You can look him up. He's on all the social media, the HMAC show. And that we talked a lot about. Why are we so frustrated with our play calling? And I think it's the inconsistency, but the consistent lack of change.
Yeah.
It's the inconsistency of production, but the consistent lack of change, the lack of adjustment. And then I'm just going to – I have never heard a coach say I got conservative with my play calling because I was worried about our kicking game.
Yeah.
That would almost
seem like you'd want to change and be more aggressive.
Exactly. I don't know. Look, we do this for free. He makes a lot of money. But now if he don't start scoring points, he needs to give the university some of that back. That's just my opinion, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. And we talked about this, you and I, right before we started the show, and what I think is crazy is I don't feel that we're as talented on the defensive side of the ball. And I feel like we're doing more with what we have on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive ball, we've got talent everywhere. We're a little weak on offensive line.
Yes, we are very weak on offense. Three starters out this past game,
yeah,
too.
We are. But I just don't understand where we're going backwards. It's like we've gone backwards from the beginning of the year.
Our defensive staff is certainly getting more out of their players than our offensive staff is, and our offensive staff has a whole lot more talent to work with.
Exactly.
A whole lot more.
Exactly.
All right, so let's jump into some questions from some of our fans real quick. Got one from a fellow Gamecock and an avid listener of ours, Shelly, down from Aiken. And this is her question. She said, how important is it to win this weekend as far as it's concerned to the rest of the season, knowing that our strength of schedule is only going to get harder later in the year? So how important is this game for our overall season this weekend against Arkansas?
Well, Shelly, great question. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And I think this is probably one of the coming back home.
Yep.
This is a huge game. I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of disappointed guys in that locker room after this A&M game. Yeah. There's no question these guys want it. So, to me, I think this is hugely important. We've got to come back and get a win so that these guys don't continue to kind of get down and get down. We got to see something this weekend. I think it's pretty important. I don't want to say it's a definite must win, but it's pretty high up there.
Well, it is a great question, and it is a very important game, especially considering a couple things. We have not played well at home all year,
which
is really surprising. So the fans are getting frustrated on that aspect. Another thing that I'm afraid might happen if we don't find a way to win, our defense is playing their heart out.
Oh, man.
And at some point, you're going to get frustrated that you keep giving your offense a chance to win, and they're not helping you out. It's a team game. But at some point, it's, hey, man, we're doing all we can do. We got you the ball back. You need to go score. Or at least let us get a breather. I mean, let us you know, run six or seven plays and then punt. Don't run three and punt. We need a chance that we, those guys are barely having a chance to sit down and get a sip of Gatorade. Powerade, water, electrolytes, whatever it is there, you know. But it's important. It's also important for this reason. It gets us to number four, which doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. But you know, four, you got Wofford later in the year, which you don't want to assume anything. But that would leave you with only one more. If you win this weekend, it leaves you with only one more big conference win to get you bowl eligible. Now, that's not – 6 wins is not our goal. But it is very important to get to 6.
It is.
Missing a bowl game is unacceptable and detrimental to lots of things. So I think it is very, very important. So great question, Shelly. We appreciate you listening. All the way down in Aiken there, Gamecock Country down there. So you keep your people down there cheering for us. Now I got another question for you, Jay Bird.
Okay.
Let's just play a hypothetical. Hypothetically, Kurt Roper is asked to step down from his role as play caller, not necessarily fired as a coach, but asked to step down as play caller. Who you got calling plays the rest of the year?
Good question. And I thought about this actually today. We had a conversation about this, and I think I see where you're going. I know I've heard a lot of fans talk about who they would want to see. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think for me, it's the other guy that's the co-offensive coordinator, McClendon.
All right, Brian McClendon, yeah. Our wide receivers coach. Okay.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's that. I'm just going to go with that. I think I'm going to wait to hear what you say before we talk about it a little bit more.
All right.
But that would be my choice, a little bit more experience. He's already the co-offensive coordinator. I think it makes sense. That would be my choice. What about you?
Do I think – all right, so let's just get down to – talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Could Bobby Bentley call plays at this level with his son at quarterback? Absolutely, I think he could. Now, obviously, I've ran a lot of plays for that man.
Yeah.
I think he could. I'm aware, you don't have to quote his PC record to me. I listened to those games on the radio, and I kept my following, and I was pretty loyal during those days. And I shared this on the HMAC show. You've already called BMAC your co-offensive coordinator for a reason.
Yeah.
So could Bentley do it? I think yes, he could. I think he's talented enough to do it. But let's not forget, he's only been an on-the-field coach for a year.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about Brian McClendon. You're talking about BMAC there. He filled in when Mark Ritt was let go at Georgia, and they had an amazing bowl game.
Yes.
And so he's got some head coaching experience. Here's my other concern. Let's just say you jump to Bentley. Can you think about the massive confusion of trying to call plays with your son at quarterback?
Yeah.
So that's one problem I have with that. Two, if you do, B-Mac's gone the next opportunity he gets.
Yeah.
And he's a great coach and a great recruiter and somebody we want to keep in the fold. So if I had to, as much as I love Coach Bentley, I'm letting McClendon call the plays if we come to that. And we're not saying that we're going to, but if it does, demote Roper down to quarterback's coach or whatever, and then let B-Mac go up to the box and call the plays.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Now that you brought it out, the only thing I would elaborate on what you're saying is I just couldn't imagine if things continued to go mediocre with Bentley calling plays. The kind of spotlight it would bring calling plays for your kid.
Yeah. And it could be a distraction.
And I agree with you, too. Bobby was at our high school all 4 years. I was on the sideline. You were playing.
Yep.
I was a sports medicine. And so there's no doubt in my mind I think he can do it. I just would not want to deal with that while Jake Bentley was in school.
Well, and here's what you're going to hear because I heard it. I've heard it for years up here. You throw on 3rd and 3 and it's incomplete. Oh, he just wanted his son to get the first down. That's what you're going to have
exactly
to hear.
Exactly right.
And so I think best case scenario is B-Mac calls the plays if it comes to that. I'm not against it coming to that at this point. I give the coaches the benefit of the doubt. It's getting real hard to stand up for Roper at the water cooler on Monday. And I don't even have a water cooler in my office, but it's getting real hard to stand up for him. Well, Jay Bird, it's always fun to talk about those questions and stuff like that. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to pause. We're going to let the fans hear. 2001, it doesn't matter how bad your week's going, it'll brighten your week.
That's right. Let's get it.
Man, it's going to be a great 2001 will be down there playing this week. So fans, get down there, get loud, and enjoy the special memories that we make when we go to these Carolina games.
Woo, gosh, I can't wait to get myself down there.
I'm telling you, Jay Bird. All right, it's that time. It's the time where we come to our picks now, and I think we didn't do too bad last week. Not as good as we'd hoped. Your reverse psychology didn't work.
But, no, it sure didn't.
Update us on where we are, and then go ahead and give us the first game, and then I'll give you a couple games.
Okay. So last week, you and I both went 3-2.
Okay. Not bad. Over 500.
Yep. And going into this week, I am 13-12, and you are 14-11.
All right. So. All right. I like that.
All right. So first game on the pick slate is LSU at Florida. Florida is favored by 3.5 points.
That's at the Swamp.
It is at the Swamp.
Because it's at the Swamp, I'm going to say Florida continues to win ugly. They are. I don't know how they keep winning, but LSU's in trouble. Lost to Troy last week, and old Coach O is on the hot seat already. Now I hope his agent got him a good buyout, because he's about to be one and done if he's not careful.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You lose to Troy last week, and then you got to travel to the Swamp. That ain't no fun.
It's not a good combination, is it? Lost to Troy at home.
Yeah, that's bad. They got paid $900,000 to win that game.
And then trolled them on social media and thanked them for inviting them to homecoming. Whoever's running that Troy social media account, kudos to you. That was funny.
Yeah, I'm taking Florida, too. So,
all right, well, let's jump out of the SEC for a little bit, which is not our strength.
No.
So we're going to say that up front to everybody listening to us. We got number 23, West Virginia, at number 8, TCU. TCU is minus 13. Who you taking?
Yeah, I for some reason, I really like this game. TCU beat a good Oklahoma State team earlier this year and beat them soundly. So I like Gary Patterson. I like that defense. I'm going to take TCU.
Wow. Man, West Virginia, you know, you just never know what you're going to get with them offensively. 13's a big number. I'm going to say West Virginia covers the spread. TCU wins by about 11. So I'm going to take West Virginia with the spread there.
I like it.
I got one more for you outside, and then I'll turn it back over to you. I got another one I want us to do.
Okay.
Michigan State at number 7, Michigan. Michigan is minus 10.5 at the Big House.
I like this. D'Antonio at Harbaugh. So two good coaches.
Big brother and little brother is what they call this one now.
Yep. I like Michigan State.
Wow.
I like the guy from South Carolina. I think he loses.
Okay.
I think he loses. But I think he hangs in there for about 7. I'm taking Michigan State.
Not so fast. I'm going to hit you with the Corso. I'm not a big fan of Michigan at all, but they're going to roll big in this one.
Ooh.
I'm taking them by at least 14, so give me Michigan. Now, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You got a couple games to surprise me with.
Yeah. Okay,
right? Surprise me with another one.
All right. I think this is going to be a doozy.
All right, let's hear it.
We got number 17 Louisville at number 24 NC State. Louisville is minus 3.5 with Lamar Jackson. Minus 3.5 with Lamar Jackson.
Oh, man. I tell you what, NC State, we've seen them. They got a powerful front seven, and they're getting points at home. I'm going to stick to the rules here. I'm sticking to the rules. Give me NC State because they're getting points at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I think this NC State football team is good. I know we beat them at the beginning of the year.
I'm glad we don't have to play them again.
I'm too. I'm taking NC State to win outright. I think they're a really good football team. I think they're set. I don't think this Louisville team is as good as I think Lamar Jackson about all they got.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as good as that 17 beside their name.
Well, that's four, so that leaves us with one more.
Yep.
And we can't go a week without the good guys. So tell us who we got. Arkansas come into Willie B. Hopefully we're going to have a good crowd. Hopefully it'll be loud. It's a 4 o'clock game. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Odd time there.
Odd time.
So give me the spread there, and then let's hear it.
So Arkansas is -1.5.
That's changed a lot since it opened.
Yeah,
it has. Do me a favor real quick. Explain to people why we say it changed. All right, so South Carolina opened up -2.5, meaning the experts thought they'd win by 2.5.
Yes.
Explain to the listeners why that could have changed in a short period of time of 3 days.
Well, a lot of people, as you bet money on the Gamecocks, so right now people that are betting money think that the Gamecocks are going to win, and it's moving the line that back down to closer to even. So,
okay.
You know, a lot of times they'll say, watch the early money.
Yep.
And watch the late money.
Okay.
So you've seen they move the line on the early money.
That's right.
On us.
Yep.
So that's kind of what they talk about. And now it's going to kind of probably flatten out. And watch about a day or so before the game and see if it moves back up or moves back down a little bit more.
And some of our injuries have to be playing into this.
Yeah.
And I could see this by Friday being a pick'em, which just means straight up who you got.
Yeah.
Very surprising that we are getting points at home. I'm taking the Gamecocks because I'm sticking to the rule. Anytime you got a home team getting points in a pretty even matchup, you want to take them statistically. You want to take them. I think we bounce back. Arkansas scored a lot of points the last 2 weeks. But I think we bounce back. I think our defense gives us a chance. And I think we finally figure out how to play at home. And I think after all the heat this week, that offense, whether it's Kurt Roper's play calling or the execution, we're getting some linemen back healthy. I think they're going to get it clicking. I think we score over 30. So I'm taking us to about 34 to 21 there. I think we're going to win this one big.
Yeah, I think T.J. Brunson,
yep.
Sky Moore, this is a traditional run offense.
Yes.
And I think South Carolina's going try to hit David Williams a little bit harder.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because there doesn't seem to be a lot of anger from the South Carolina side towards him.
Yeah.
But now you're not going to convince me he's not bitter at the South Carolina, that he doesn't want to prove them wrong.
He's going to be running tough.
And he's already gone to Arkansas and scored more touchdowns than he did in 3 years at South Carolina, 4 years at South Carolina. So
these guys love to run the ball.
Yeah.
You're going to see T.J. Brunson. You're going to see, I think, a little bit more Kinlaw.
Yeah. You're going to have to plug the middle a little bit.
A little bit more big guys on the front. Don't even be surprised if you see Lamons come down in the box a little bit to help out with the run. That's what these guys love to do. I think our defense is our strength. I hope you're right. I hope somebody lights a fire in that offense this week and realizes what's going on. And I'm like you. I think we win this one. I think we win it handily by at least 10. So I'm going to say 34-24.
All right, 34-24. So, folks, that's our picks this week. You can keep up with us. Maybe your picks are going better than ours this year, but hey, not too bad. Staying above 500, that'll keep you above water. So, Jay Bird, before we get ready to sign off here, I got a quick question for you I want you to answer real quick.
Okay.
Is Georgia that good or Tennessee that bad?
Wow.
I just got to know.
Let me tell you this. Georgia, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
And let me tell you this. I don't know if you've delved into this much, but I made a prediction at the end
of
the year
that
Butch Jones would be gone.
And if it happens.
I don't know if you know this, but The $9.2 million buyout's what's saving his hiney.
Well, if it happens, we're going to go back and play that for people. We'll cut that out and play it. I've been telling myself all week, as bad as this loss hurt, at least I'm not a Tennessee fan because
Lord.
They have got to be some disappointed people. Jay Bird, big week for the Gamecocks. Need to bounce back. Give us some closing comments and say a farewell to our fans.
Yeah, quick closing comment. I just want to say we're praying for everybody in Vegas.
Yes.
I'm sure you might. We're going to say something about that. I'm going to talk about one of the things that I know that sucks, but Tom Petty, we lost Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Great musician, you know, and I'll let you hit on the Vegas thing, but man, Tom Petty, we hate to lose him. That's awful. We're praying for everybody out there. Y'all have fun down there Saturday, and let's hear what you got for your
club. Yeah, you're right. We lots of our prayers go out to our people in Vegas, but as all our fans may not be big in their prayers, but they're in our prayers. But it's time that our prayers start leading us some action, and that we start getting back to loving each other, much bigger than the game of football. Get back to loving each other the same way we love our Gamecocks, and I just, you know, maybe this weekend some of these football games will be a breath of fresh air for people, and we can get back to enjoying some of the beautiful things our country has to offer, and Gamecock football is one of those. And so we thoughts are with everybody. Be safe this weekend. Get down there and get rowdy.
Let's hear it. Let's get loud.
Get loud, and let's show these people, hey, we got some big recruits coming into town. Let's show them that we can bounce back. Let's get that fourth win and get us on the road to getting back where we need to be. Let's go, Gamecocks.
Go, Cox.